We do not often preach about hell or the afterlife, but we're going to tonight. The scripture passages that we've read from, Luke chapter 16, John chapter 20, Acts chapter 2, give us clues to what happened to Jesus. And we're going to be exploring them tonight. First, let's go to John chapter 20, verses 15 through 17. As we just finished reading, we have here a scene in which Mary is clinging onto Christ after his resurrection. And Jesus says to her, "Mary." And she responds back to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus says, "Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father, but go tell my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Jesus clearly is telling her at this point that though he's resurrected, he's not been in the presence of God, the Father, since his death. Another clue we've got to explore is from Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 33. Here, Peter's preaching, and he tells the crowd that Jesus' resurrection was prophesied by King David. "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is the right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My flesh also dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul in Hades. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For you've made known to me the paths of life, and you've made the gladness of your presence. You will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow the Holy One to see corruption." Peter tells the crowd and us that this was not about David himself. David died and his body saw corruption. But in verse 30, Peter says, "Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him that he would not set one of his that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he would not be abandoned to Hades, nor see his flesh see corruption." So, what is this Hades that Peter speaks about? Well, the translation of the scriptures from Hebrew to Greek, the word Hades was used for the Hebrew word Sheol very consistently. In the Hebrew, Sheol is a place where the spirits of men and women go after their death. The closest Greek equivalent was the word Hades or Tartarus, and both are used in the New Testament. They're also used in both Hebrew and Greek, a word that we translate to lowest parts of the earth. There is no English equivalent for these words. Sheol is described by Jesus in his parable of the rich man and Lazarus. This is going back to our passage in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. In that parable, Jesus speaks about Lazarus being carried away by an angel in his spirit. Now, what Jesus describes is Abraham, Lazarus, the rich man, they're all alive. They're all conscious. They're all aware of their situation. And they still being alive is an important point. Jesus makes this point in Mark chapter 12, verse 27. When having a discussion about the resurrection, he says, "Do you not know that God says that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He's not a God of the dead, but the living." So Jesus declares very clearly that after those who have died, their souls continue on living somewhere in some place. Now, going back to our passage with Lazarus and the rich man, in verse 23, Jesus tells us where Lazarus and the rich man are. They're in Hades, or Sheol. Now, the rich man experienced torment while he was there, and Lazarus was with Abraham in comfort. They all were aware of their situation. There was a great chasm that separated the two, those awaiting for their atonement and those awaiting for judgment. Jesus on the cross, before he dies, speaks to one of the thieves next to him. And that thief, defending Jesus as the Christ, Jesus looks to him and says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The place where Abraham and the saints were is paradise. But they were not in heaven. And I would define heaven as being the presence of the very God, the creator of all things. Also, Jesus said when he died, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." But because of what Jesus said to Mary, we know that for 3 days he had not ascended to heaven. He was not in the presence of God, the Father. Going back to the parable about Lazarus, Jesus taught that angels carried the spirit to Sheol. Why would Jesus have to go to Sheol after he died? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. The writer of Hebrews tells us this: "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make preparations for the sins of the people." The last respect is for his soul to go where souls go after death, to Sheol. This is real death. Just like the rest of the saints as who had passed before, his soul was taken from his body and brought to Sheol. God stated through David that Jesus would not be abandoned into Sheol. But this means that Jesus' soul had to go to Sheol and then be delivered from there. After death, Jesus delivered the soul of the saints from Sheol. Now, this is prophesied in a number of places. I'm just going to read a few of them. In Psalms 49:15, the psalmist writes, "But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me." Again, a psalmist writes in Psalm 86:13, "For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol." Now here the psalmist is speaking in the present tense. You have delivered my soul. Knowing that the soul must go to Sheol. But the psalmist is so confident that his God will not allow his soul to stay in Sheol, that it says in this very positive, present statement, "You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol." And the writer of Hebrews 11:39 says, "All these things, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised." Now, what the writer is speaking about here, Hebrews chapter 11, is what we call the great faith chapter, where he's gone through and spoken about different men of faith. And yet, the writer Hebrews says, they did not receive what was promised. Their redemption had not happened yet. Their souls went to Sheol. All those who trusted in God for atonement had to wait for their actual atonement to happen. They waited in Sheol. All the sacrifices, everything that they had done, trusting that God would do something about their sin, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that most of the Old Testament saints, as they trusted what God had provided them through the sacrificial system, didn't understand how God was going to do it. As the prophets came, they spoke about Messiah. There was probably a rising expectation that God was going to deliver them by somebody, through somebody, but still not have a great understanding of exactly how God was going to do it. They had faith. They trusted that God would do something. And that's what the Hebrew writer speaks about. And yet, they had not received what was promised because real atonement had not been made. Jesus makes real atonement for them and for us. When he died upon the cross, he bore their sins and our sins. Paul says to the Corinthians in his first letter that Jesus was the very first fruits. Hear what he says in chapter 15, verses 20 through 22. Jesus has been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have been fallen asleep. For by a man came death, and by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. And so the promise of this atonement actually being done has been fulfilled by Christ. Why then does the Apostles' Creed say that Jesus descended into hell? Well, it's interesting that language changes over time. And I did a quick Google search and I came up with these. Some of these are quite humorous and fun. As a matter of fact, let's start with that word, fun. Fun actually meant to cheat or to hoax. Not what we mean fun now. How about the word awful? The word awful originally meant full of awe, worthy of reverence. That's not what we mean by awful now. How about the word inmate? Inmate originally meant a roommate. The mate, your friend, that lived in your room with you. A roommate or an inmate. This next one, I was just blown away when I discovered it, because it's a completely different meaning. The word bully originally meant sweetheart or lover to both genders. Once again, a completely different meaning now. How about the word artificial? Think of what artificial means right now. Because it originally meant an original work of art. And the word hell. Hell originally meant, in English, the place of the dead, or Sheol in Hebrew. We know this to be true because if you look up, and I did, and I encourage you to do as well, with if you have an electronic copy of the scriptures, I did a real quick search in the authorized King James Version, and you find out that the King James translates the word Sheol as hell 31 times, and Hades as hell 10 times. Now, if you do the same search with the English Standard Version, you find out that Sheol in the Old Testament is translated as hell 0 times, and Hades as hell once, and Tartarus as hell once. When the King James Version was written, hell meant Sheol. It meant the place of the dead. The Apostles' Creed was used in English as part of the church liturgy as far back as 1662, in the exact form that we use it today. Back then, hell meant Sheol, the place of the dead. The Greek version of the Apostles' Creed gives us more clues. The Greek version of the Apostles' Creed does not use the Greek word for hell or Hades. It uses a word from Ephesians 4:9, which means the lower regions. Let me read this to you. Paul writes in Ephesians, "In saying he ascended, what does it mean that he did also descend into the lower regions of the earth? Now, that lower regions of the earth is one word in Greek. He also descended, he who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. The lower regions is another Old Testament description of Sheol that Paul uses to the Ephesians to speak to them about Christ's descent into Sheol and his ascension into heaven. And that's the word that's used in the Greek version of the Apostles' Creed. The point of the Apostles' Creed, the point of the term, he descended into hell, is that Jesus was really human. That he had a real flesh body. That his body really did die, just as yours and mine will one day. That his human spirit went where all human spirits go, to Sheol. However, death could not hold him. Now, the last question that you might be asking yourself after what I have said this evening, well, do we go to Sheol when we die? For the Christian, for the one who is trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the one in which the atonement has been placed upon them, Jesus has died for your sins and bore them in his body. For the Christian who's been adopted by our Lord and God, who's been elected and chosen, the answer to that question is no. Paul tells the Corinthian church in his second letter, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. You hear Paul is affirming that when we die, we go into the presence of Christ, the presence of our risen Savior. And we know when Christ rose, because of what he told Mary, he's going to ascend to the Father. So when we die, our spirits and our souls will ascend to where Christ is and be in the very presence of God. And why can that be true? Because Christ has bore our sins in his body. He has made true and everlasting atonement for our sins. We are able to stand in the presence of a holy, righteous, and good God. Let me give you another passage, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Once again, Paul is making a clear, definitive statement here that when we die, we are in the presence of our God. One last passage to share along with this. Let's go to the book of Revelation, close to the end, chapter 20, verses 13 through 14. Well, no, before that, let's look at Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. We'll go to chapter 20 in just a second. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and all people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Now here, John is given a vision of the throne room of our God. And here, there's a great multitude that no one can number from every nation, every tribe, every language. Those whom God had sent Christ to make an atonement for their sins stood before the throne of their God. It's a great vision. And it answers the question clearly that no, when Christians die, when the saints die, they go before the Lord. Which also answers the question, well, what about Abraham and the saints before? Well, after Christ made atonement for their sins, and he spent the days that God had allotted for him in Sheol, and his body saw no corruption, and his soul was not abandoned, when Christ was taken from Sheol, he took the saints with him into the presence of God. Because at that time, their sins were atoned for, and they could stand in the presence of a holy and righteous God. How about those waiting for judgment? Do they go to Sheol? And the answer is yes. And let's go back to that passage I mentioned just a moment ago, Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 through 14. John writes this. Now this is at the very end of time. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, each of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Now John's describing the great judgment day, when all those who have ever lived will be resurrected and stand before a holy and righteous God and be judged for their lives. And until that day happens, according to John, Hades, Sheol, still exists. And that's where they are. They're waiting judgment. And when the day of judgment occurs, Hades will give up its dead, and then God will destroy it because there'll be no need for a place of waiting any longer. So, to conclude, let me just encourage you in these words. Speak the Apostles' Creed with confidence. It is the summary of the basic Christian truth that all followers of Jesus should believe. Our Savior experienced death in the same way that all Adam's race experienced death. But death could not hold him. Praise the Lord. We serve a risen Savior. Amen.